Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Wednesday, and another reason why we're happy we're not in Phoenix. Come on, 116 to 118 degrees up in the Valley of the Sun. When it gets to be 107, 108 here in Tucson, that's plenty hot enough. Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show for this Wednesday, August 24th, 2011. The Buckmaster Show, live noon to 1 on KVOI AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station. And our simulcast partners, our friends up in Gila County, are listening to the Buckmaster Show in Globe out of KJAA AM 1240. And our friends in Cochise County and Santa Cruz County listen to the program on 930 KAPR in Douglas. So together with the three stations, we have you covered, Southern Arizona. The Buckmaster Show is always on the World Wide Web at buckmastershow.com. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, and we archive our previous programs. Thanks to our new agreement, we also have the Buckmaster Show on the online Tucson Sentinel news service, so you can hear our program anytime at tucsonsentinel.com. The lineup for today's show, we begin with the second of our two-part focus interviews this week on the drought in the Southwest. Today we'll talk with Dr. Tom Swetnam of the Tree Ring Laboratory at the University of Arizona. Also this afternoon at 20 minutes past the hour, a nonprofit service for our companion animals who are in need of a blood transfusion. And we'll spend the final 30 minutes of the show with a living icon of Tucson and the Sonora Desert. Folklorist Big Jim Griffith will be along. He is being honored with one of this nation's highest humanitarian awards. Buckmaster Show is an interview-driven show. We do encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us at 790-2040 or toll-free from anywhere in North America, 1-866-725-5467. You can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a particular story idea or a guest that you would like to hear interviewed, we encourage you to let us know. Well, this week on the Buckmaster Show, we are focusing on the drought in the Southwest and the 2011 fire season, which turned out to be perhaps the worst in modern history in Arizona, with two of the five biggest wildfires on record happening this summer. The Wallow Fire in eastern Arizona charred 530,000 acres, more than a half million acres. Some of the experts are saying that a lot of that was because our forests are overstocked and overdense. Many, including the state's new forester, want to get our forests back in shape with more of a natural regime, to where when the fires do occur, they are not going to be high-intensity affairs. The thinking is the fires will stay more on the forest floor, be easier to suppress, less damaging, and less threatening to our communities. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show is Dr. Tom Swetnam, a renowned Arizona wildfire historian and director of the UA Laboratory of Tree Ring Research. He's the co-author of a recent study, Forest Response to Increasing Aridity and Warmth in the Southwestern United States. And Tom Swetnam, it's good to see you.
Hi, Bill. Glad to be here.
Just back from Siberia, Dr. Swetnam. What were you doing over in Siberia? I guess they have giant Siberia is a big place, so I would imagine they have giant fires.
Oh, yes. Giant forest, giant fires. It's like an ocean of forest in Siberia, bogs and rivers, too. But it's been warming up and burning there. Enormous wildfires in Siberia. And so we're there studying, trying to learn the long-term history of fire and climate and people in Siberia.
And the tree rings tell us what about fire and drought?
Well, there's no huge surprise. We see that droughts. Obviously, dry years are very well correlated with fire. But we're also able to see the long term. You know, we see periods, decades, when there's a lot more fire, and then decades when there's less fire. We also have discovered some very interesting patterns, climate patterns, such as the El Nino and how it relates to fire activity. And this year, as an example, we had a La Nina. It wasn't a very strong La Nina, a sort of moderate La Nina, but it typically results in drought in the Southwest. And guess what? We had drought, actually, all the way across, yeah.
And this is a huge drought. I mean, what's going on in Texas is just really, it's beyond belief. There's this high pressure over mm-hmm. Texas. And if you look day-to-day at these satellite maps of the Southwest, usually there's not a cloud in the sky over there.
It is extraordinary. This drought now is potentially shaping up to be the worst drought on the historical record and in instrumental records, rain gauge records, for southern New Mexico on through eastern New Mexico and part of southern Arizona too, but West Texas. So we're now, they're pushing records. 1934, of course, the Dust Bowl, the deepest year of the Dust Bowl drought. We're now exceeding that in some of the measures.
And here in Arizona, we've been talking about this. Dr. Swetnam, you and I have talked about this for many years, and it seems like, I don't know, are we in like the 12th or 13th year of this dry spell? What are you,
yes,
how do you see
be.
It?
Yes, it could be. You know, we started late 90s even in some of the drier conditions. And so we're in that, this term decadal, you know, it's more than a decade. And you know, there have been wet seasons and sort of wettish year, average
kind
years.
Kind of anomalies inside of this envelope.
That's right. But overall dry, you know, it's an extraordinary event.
Are we challenging the big drought of the 1950s in Arizona, and perhaps even we may be on track for something bigger?
That's right. We're kind of in that territory now where we're looking at one of the worst droughts on record, if not the worst, in our period of record where we have, you know, rain gauges. This is the scary thing we've talked about before too. With the tree ring record, we can go back centuries, and there's the bad news, folks, is that the tree rings tell us that actually
the
they're worse droughts.
The big Anastasi drought, and maybe the reason that folks left the cliff dwellings. I mean, there was a decade after of dry period.
Right. It was a contributing factor. One of the things we learned, though, with studying both drought history and human history, it's not just one factor. You know, there's many things that come together that cause changes in both ecosystems and human societies.
You were shaking your head in agreement while I was reading that intro about this new state forester and some of the things he's saying about what he would like to see happen to get our forests back into a more of a natural condition. Is that kind of your thinking?
Yes. Yeah, exactly so. Many of us, for our studies, we learned that forests to operate, to function and to survive, you know, climate variability and droughts and so on, they really need to have fire, but at the lower severity, low intensity fires. And we've accumulated all the fuels over the last century because of putting fires out. So now we need to reduce those fuels. And so, yeah, the strategy now is to thin the forest, remove the fuels that accumulated, and then we actually need to allow some fires to burn during the right years and the right seasons. And then when it's a really bad, dry, windy year and time of, you know, the year, then we would suppress those, but we'd be able to do that effectively. We just suppress them.
Even if we had been following a different management style with these fires, you do have to think that climate change and drought has really had an effect on what we've seen here in the last 5 to 10 years in Arizona with the fires.
These things
are super hot fires.
They're super hot. So there's this, you know, it's a perfect firestorm of, you know, you combine the fuels, the changes in the fuels, and the extraordinary drought and the heat, you know. So we have a drought, but now we have a hot drought, a really hot drought. Interesting, this summer, one of the other factors that we're studying right at the moment is a very interesting pattern of the jet stream. You know, the position of the very high pressure pattern sitting over West Texas, northern Mexico. And the jet stream came down and looped back up over Arizona, New Mexico. So we had high winds in June.
A lot of wind.
Yes, and so those drove these incredible spread rates on the wildfire. There were single days when we were burning 50 to 80,000 acres in one day.
Oh.
Incredible.
It's just, this is of a historic proportion. 790-2040, if you have any fire management questions, questions about tree rings, Dr. Tom Swetnam is the gentleman that you will want to direct those questions to. He's the director and a professor of dendrochronology, the study of tree rings. Right. I guess that's right, right?
Yeah, we use tree rings to study all sorts of things.
And how's your new facility?
Well, we hope to see the actual groundbreaking any day now, putting a hole in the ground and building it. $12 million building on the University of Arizona campus that will house the Laboratory of Tree Ring Research and all of our collections.
And it's really one of the renowned tree ring laboratories in the world. And this facility, you would not be able to move into a state-of-the-art facility if it had not been for a huge gift.
That's right. That's right. Our friend Agnes Howery very generously contributed about three-quarters of the gift, and the university put in the rest. And so absolutely, it's a private gift that makes this happen. And, you know, Mrs. Howery is recognizing the uniqueness and important scientific discoveries that we've made and our potential for the future.
You know, this is a question I have never asked you, Tom Swetnam, in our many, many years interviewing you. Why did you get interested? What was it about tree rings? Where was there a defining moment for you as a young man that did this?
Yes, it's kind of natural, I guess. My father was a forest ranger. And so I grew up in northern New Mexico, living in a rural village. And in the early 1970s, there was a very large forest fire that erupted near our home. And it had a lasting impression on me that this was an amazing event and something that was mysterious and a little scary, and I just wanted to learn more about it.
So you lived in the kind of an outdoor life.
Yeah, I mean, we were in a rural place. I went to school with Native American Pueblo kids in northern New Mexico, and I loved to fish and hunt and walk around the mountains, and I still do.
I love that area up in northern New Mexico. Tom, put that headset on so we will be able now to listen to caller Jim to the Buckmaster Show. Go ahead, Jim. You're with Tom Swetnam.
Good morning or good afternoon. Tom, I'd like to ask you a question. I had an idea for years about putting in a water pipeline, sort of like the interstate system, that would take floodwaters and bring them over to drought areas and work on that. I just wonder what you thought of that idea.
Okay, thank you, Jim.
Well, that's an interesting idea. You know, of course, that one goes back. You know, I think even Native American peoples, over the past centuries, learned that in the Southwest we have water only at certain times, and then it kind of runs off. So let's catch it. So water catchments, and that's a classic way that.
And it happened a lot in your northern New Mexico. That was very common in that area.
But piping it, I mean, it's a general idea that, of course, we apply to big rivers, like the Colorado. But we do run into problems when you have smaller river courses and so on, and to build water control and water containment features there, then you've got issues whether you have enough water there. Is it going to be worth it to pipe it from there and so on? So yeah, it's generally a good idea, and it's been practiced. I'm not sure it's not going to solve our overall problem. I mean, surface water is, even if you were to catch all of it, in a drought situation like this, we still probably don't have enough.
Probably not enough. So in conclusion here with Tom Swetnam, the new norm could be what we've seen over the last couple of years.
That's what we're worried about. We may be heading into uncharted territory here, and then generally dry conditions is what we expect with increasing warming in the atmosphere over the coming decades as a consequence of greenhouse gases. That's an expectation that most scientists agree is coming, and unfortunately the Southwest is in a bullseye there for those effects.
Okay, Tom Swetnam, always good to see you, always good to talk with you, and this will not be the last time
we'll be
talking. This drought is not going to end, unfortunately, anytime soon.
We'll try to find some good news at some point here.
Some point, maybe we can talk about a wet year. 1218 on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. We'll talk about your companion animal and blood donations. That's next.
Thank you. Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
The Arizona Inn is the only Tucson hotel named by Travel and Leisure magazine as one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. Located in Midtown, close to the University of Arizona, the Arizona Inn is located at 2200 East Elm Street and on the web at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn maintains AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room, with Chef Allison serving up breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily with a featured menu and seasonal favorites. And because the Arizona Inn is listed on the National Register of Historic Places, founded by Arizona's first Congresswoman, Isabella Greenway, the Arizona Inn provides an historic backdrop for your next special event. Arizona Inn is the perfect setting for weddings, anniversary celebrations, or your next business meeting, and you can make your reservations online at arizonainn.com. The Arizona Inn, luxury and elegance in the heart of Tucson.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended Custom Foot Orthotics, created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 1222. This is the Buckmaster Show. The home of the Buckmaster Show is the most powerful radio station, news talk station on the AM dial. It's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. And you know, just like humans, our companion animals need emergency blood transfusions. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Jan White, hospital administrator and an owner of Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson. Jan's extensive volunteer and community service activities earned her and her colleagues a Copper Cactus Award for community service in 2010. And Jan White joins us now on the Buckmaster Show. Jan, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate you having us.
Well, congratulations. I've been reading through the kind of activities you have been involved in. You've been involved with Handy Dogs, Gabriel's Angels, which delivers healing pet therapy to abused, neglected, and at-risk children. The blood donation, the transfusion area, it's a nonprofit situation. Would you believe, obviously, in the two-legged variety of species and the four-legged.
Correct.
Yeah.
And we're one of the things that we do back and support with all of our staff, and it's all of our doctors and all of our staff that are involved in volunteer work, is part of our fiber and part of who we are is giving back to both the two-legged and four-legged community. And there are a lot of organizations in town that actually benefit both pets and people.
And you really go into the specialty area. Primary care, someone takes their companion animal, their pet, to a veterinarian. They are sometimes have serious problems, the animal, and they can be recommended then to you. Tell us a little bit about what is involved with Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson.
Thank you for asking. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We have an emergency room. And basically, I think it's easy to equate it to human medicine because that's what everybody knows. And we would be like an acute care hospital, like a TMC, like a Northwest for animals. And we have the specialists there, and the specialists like neurosurgeon, ophthalmologist, orthopedic surgeon, internist,
cardiologist,
oncologist, anything that you would see your primary care doctor for, you would, and that he or she cannot do. It's the same on the vet side. They would see their primary care veterinarian and then be referred over to see a specialist. A referral is not required. You can enter our building anytime, 24 hours a day, but it does work a lot like human medicine.
Where are you located?
We're at the corner of River and La Cañada, 4909 North La Cañada Drive in Tucson.
And obviously you and your partners felt there was a need for this type of specialty in Tucson.
Yes, we did. There's only about 200 of these hospitals in the country. Most are independently owned by veterinarians and managers who were maybe involved in academia or maybe involved, for myself, I was in the human side of medicine. And ran hospitals and clinics around the country. So there's a big need because prior to these individual companies starting up, all you could do would be go to a university for care. And there's nothing wrong with that, but anybody who's experienced a veterinary care at an academia setting knows that it takes a lot longer than coming to a hospital that can see your pet and move through the system relatively quickly.
Jan, tell me about the blood donor program for pets.
We have a volunteer blood donor program that is not a blood bank. It's a donor program, and the pets need blood, just like humans do. We have an emergency room. They have diagnoses where they bleed out, and they need blood, just like humans do. So we actually put together the first Pets and People blood drive in Arizona with the American Red Cross and did a blood drive and did it for several years to raise the awareness of the need not only for human blood but for pet blood. And when you have your animal in the program, then they, of course, get blood when they need blood, but then also their blood is banked and used and given to other animals that have their same blood type or blood monikers.
People love their companion animal or animals. I certainly do. And people are willing to spend a lot of money to make sure the care of their animal is proper and correct. What are some of your thoughts about pet insurance?
Pet insurance is much like human insurance. When I say human, it's because it's human medicine, so it sounds kind of funny. But human insurance, maybe 30, 35 years ago, used to be a cafeteria style. You bought your own plan, you paid for it, the doctor signed a piece of paper with the diagnosis, you turned it into the insurance company, and then it was between you and the insurance company. It's exactly the same way on human medicine. There aren't any HMOs or PPOs, so to speak, so the doctor just signs the piece of paper with the diagnosis, the client pays, And it does work well as long as the client understands what they're paying for. They can pay anything from $5 to $40, $50 a month, but they have to read the fine print because they're only going to pay for what they're paying for. So if it's a low amount of money, it might be just immunizations a month or a year. And if it's more, it might cover a broken leg. So you need to make sure that if you're interested in pet insurance, you pay attention to what you're signing up for.
Which of these activities do you want take to heart? What's your favorite one? I've got a whole list here in front
of
me.
Probably everything we are involved in. It's hard to pick one. We just helped with the
Handy
Monument
Dogs,
Fire.
That's a great organization.
Handy Dog is fabulous. Gabriel's Angels, the mission that they have is fabulous.
You spearheaded Tucson's first Pets and People Blood Drive.
Correct.
We mentioned that. And you've been involved on a national level about veterinary care and veterinary
right.
administration.
It's called Veterinary Specialty Practice Alliance. I have the Southern Arizona Veterinary Managers Group that I manage, and I write the only business newsletter specifically for veterinarians that I'm aware of in one of the few in the country, and I started the United Purchasing Alliance with some help. When I say I, it's other veterinary hospitals that have helped, and we formed a United Purchasing Alliance, which allows veterinarians to buy drugs and supplies at a group rate instead of individual rate.
A couple quick questions, quickly running out of time. Are there enough vets in our community?
I don't know how to answer that for you.
How would you say the care is generally for vets?
The veterinarians do a fabulous job taking care of their patients. I honestly can tell you, if you ask me the same thing about human side, I would tell you the same thing. They provide great care, and so do the veterinarians and their staff.
Jan White, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
And Jan White is one of the owners of the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson, 4909 La Cañada. Did I get that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Have a great afternoon.
Thank you.
Thanks for being
Thanks
with
for
us.
Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Coming up now on the bottom of the hour on the Buckmaster Show, Big Jim Griffith is next. If you've got a folklore story that you'd like Big Jim to talk about, 790-2040. He's coming up next on the Buckmaster Show.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Hurricane Irene is getting stronger, and the southeastern Bahamas are now starting to feel the impact of the powerful Category 3 storm. Libyan rebels have been trying to clear out the last pockets of resistance in Tripoli today and hunt down Muammar Gaddafi, who remains in hiding. The New York Police Department has built one of the country's most aggressive domestic intelligence agencies in the 10 years since the 9/11 terror attacks. A Navy panel who says the former commander of a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier who produced a questionable video aboard the ship can remain in the service. Updating Wall Street, the Dow is up 112 points, the NASDAQ ahead 17, and the S&P a dozen points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
Biro Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Biro Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Biro Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at viroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at AssistanceLeagueTucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowland Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection at Golf Links and Kolb and the Star Pass Mission Road intersection. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has also implemented transit services like Sun Express and Sun Shuttle. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
It's 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show, and I am Bill Buckmaster. On the home of the Buckmaster Show, Southern Arizona's most powerful AM station. It's AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and also our friends listening up in Globe and in Douglas down in Cochise County. We are on 3 stations here with the Buckmaster Show, so we are heard from one end of Southern Arizona to the other, and we get all the way up into Phoenix, too. The National Endowment for the Arts is honoring folklorist Big Jim Griffith with a prestigious National Heritage Fellowship. The award comes with a nice check, $25,000, and a 3-day Washington, D.C. celebration in late September. Big Jim is the founder of Tucson Meet Yourself, the annual gathering of artists and craft and food makers. This year's festival is October the 14th through the 16th in Presidio Park in downtown Tucson. Big Jim served as the director of the Southwest Folklore Center at the University of Arizona. He has written 4 books since retiring in 1998. His latest book will be out in October, just in time for Tucson Meet Yourself. Its title is A Border Runs Through It, and it is a kind of a compilation of folklore of Southern Arizona and Sonora. Many people know Big Jim from his weekly segments that were called Arizona Traditions that ran for many years on Arizona Illustrated, the program I hosted for 23 years on KUAT Channel 6. Big Jim, it is a delight to see you.
Well, it's good to see you again, and good to be on the air with you.
We are back on the air together, Big Jim, and congratulations on this award.
Thank you.
Come as a big surprise?
You bet.
And how did, was there like a committee that got together? Tell me about it.
Well, this award is a part of a larger set of awards called the National Heritage Fellowships, and they are awarded to anywhere between 8 and 14 traditional artists selected by nomination and then finally selected by a committee assembled by the National Endowment for the Arts Committee of people who know quite a bit about various forms of traditional art. And all the cultures that call America home and all of their traditional arts. So this year, for instance, there is an African-American quilt maker. There is a unaccompanied hymn leader from Kentucky. There is two Japanese-American gentlemen from San Jose, California, who have been instrumental in the popularization of taiko drumming in the United States. There is a gentleman who is the chief of the Black Magnolias, the Wild Magnolias Indian tribe of Mardi Gras Indians in New Orleans.
Oh, my goodness.
They come out on Mardi Gras and on St. Joseph's Day and dress out in costumes that look as though the Plains Indians had migrated through Trinidad and Tobago on their way
to Carnival.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so there's really a wide range of people that do very interesting things. And of course,
only one non-artist is given one of these awards, and that's a special award called the Bess Lomax Hawes Award, named after Bess Hawes, who led the Folk Arts Division of the National Endowment for the Arts for years. And it goes to a person who has spent his or her life serving the traditional arts. And for reasons I still don't quite understand, I was called up by one of my friends from the endowment and asked if I would accept the award this year, that the committee, and it's done by committee, and you don't nominate yourself, you don't apply, you get nominated by somebody, and then a bunch of experts sit down and and dissect you.
And did, now of course your folklore, your folklore telling is legendary, but you're a darn good award-winning banjo picker. And I wonder if that had anything to do with this. Did anybody mention your banjo playing?
I don't know whether it did or not.
Will you play the banjo during the celebration in Washington?
I think I will. I think I will. I'm being interviewed on stage by an old friend from Tennessee named Joe Wilson, who was the chairman of the National Council for the Traditional Arts. And many years ago, he taught me a tune that he had learned from his great aunt Sarah, who ran a boarding house in Mountain City, Tennessee. And I thought he's got his great aunt Sarah's banjo, and I thought I would borrow Aunt Sarah's banjo and play her tune for Joe at the awards concert.
We're with Big Jim Griffith, legendary folklorist on the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:41 on the Buckmaster Show. If you have a story that you would like Big Jim to perhaps tell, I'm going to ask him to do one of my favorites from the Arizona Traditions series. And Big Jim, I think this story would be very appropriate today, is very appropriate today. We've got temperatures pushing 116, 118 up in Phoenix. It's pushing 110 here in Tucson. This, Big Jim, is a how hot is it story.
Well, it's not really hot. Because when it's really hot, you can drop an egg onto the pavement and it'll be cooked before it hits the ground, and it won't splatter. That's what it's like when it's really hot.
It's ready for scrambled eggs even before it hits the pavement?
Yeah, baked eggs, I would say.
Okay.
And it is getting warm, I know, because as I drove by the old dairy farm, I saw several of the cows lying in the shade on their backs giving themselves milk baths. So it's, I know the ice has broken in the Santa Cruz River. It did that quite a few months ago. So it's warmish. You know, they say that Southern Arizona people aren't tremendous churchgoers for the simple reason that for 6 months of the year, the climate is so perfect that nobody worries about getting to heaven. And for the other 6 months of the year, if you can survive a Southern Arizona summer, the flames of hell hold no terror for you whatsoever.
Been there, done that, right? Big Jim Griffith is our guest on the Buckmaster Show. We're going to be taking a break here very soon, and then we're going to come back with Big Jim, and we'll talk a little bit with Big Jim How in the world did his career begin as a folklorist? And really, what does a folklorist do? What does a folklorist look for? All of that's coming up, and I'm sure there'll be another story that Big Jim will tell before we conclude this edition of the Buckmaster Show. If you would like to call in on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040, 790-2040. We will be back after we hear from the fine group of Buckmaster Show sponsors. Stay with us.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza. Topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Not only is my producer, Rosemary Brandt, the best radio producer in Tucson, she also is. She comes up with the best bumper music for the Buckmaster Show, Big Jim. Big Jim Griffith is with us on the Buckmaster Show, 1247. We've got a couple of calls waiting, folks who want to talk with Big Jim Griffith, and I can understand why. Doug, you are up first. And Doug, go ahead. You're with Big Jim.
Hello, hi, Doug. Jim. Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
About three quarters.
Hey, would you mind telling us all the story of how Tucson got its name?
Well, I'll do my best on some of it. Originally, before the Europeans got here, There was a Autumn village, a native village at the foot of what we now call a mountain, called Stukshon. And that means something like black at the base, or village at the base of the Black Mountain, or something like that. And when the Spaniards got here, led by that nice red-headed Irishman,
Don Hugo O'Connor,
they couldn't quite get their tongues around Stukshon, so they settled for Tucson. And so this was the Presidio and the settlement of Tucson. And when the English speakers arrived during the Civil War and just before, it kept on being Tucson. We know that because some letters are datelined a place called Tukson or Tuxson, which has got to be Tucson. And it probably stayed that way. The thing is, the spelling didn't change, so it's hard to know exactly how it was pronounced. But my suspicion is that in the 1880s, when the railroad came in and we were connected really seriously with both the East Coast and the West Coast, the name got Americanized to Tucson.
Probably.
Tucson, really, because a lot of old-time people I knew when I came here in 57 called this Tucson.
Tucson.
And Tucson now is the way it got its name. But I can tell you, the only thing I can tell you really positively about Tucson's name is that is not called Tucson, because it is halfway between one son and three son.
Okay, thank you for that question. Let's go now to Charles. Charles has a question about the state motto for Big Jim. Go ahead, Charles.
Yes, Jim. I'm wondering, there's a rumor going around that Rose Mofford in 1987, her hottest year on record as she left office, changed by gubernatorial proclamation, changed the state motto from Detat Deus, God enriches, to I'm melting. And I wondered if there's any truth to the rumor. I'll take my answer on the air.
I'm melting.
Well, that's what we folklorists might call folklore. The community as a whole taking charge and using its talents and imagination to create a much more meaningful text than the official one. That's great. Thank you. I did not know that, and I will take that over just like it was my own and use it from now on.
There you go. 12:52 on the Buckmaster Show with folklorist Big Jim Griffith. Big Jim, what is a folklorist anyway?
A folklorist is a person who studies, guess what?
Folklore.
Yeah! And what do I mean by folklore? Folklorists are interested in the voices of communities, the informal stuff, like I'm melting, that you don't get in the formal reference books, but which gives you a strong feeling for what the community feels. Like the lady from Tucson who went to visit a friend in upstate New York by the beautiful Hudson River, and after a while the friend said, well, how do you like our beautiful Hudson River? And the lady from Tucson said, I don't know. I haven't had a chance to get a look at it. It's been full of water all the time. That's, in a way, folklore. Jokes are folklore. They come out of the community and express concerns or things the community is proud of or just about anything like that.
Big Jim got a question, a caller who did not want to go on the air, but the caller wonders if you have any stories about attacking plant folklore, like maybe the jumping joy or something like that.
Well, yeah. It is...
Or sand trout.
It's believed, of course, that choyas will jump. They don't. What they do is, if you just brush lightly against one, it will break off into segments, and those segments, some of them, will stay with you. And it sure feels as though they're leaping across a space of 3 feet in order to get you, but they don't really. I don't know too much plant folklore. I know there is a bunch. I've never just gone poking after it. And folklore is something that's quite often just below, either it's just below the surface or it's so blatantly obvious that you never think. It's just that old stuff that we've always heard. Like, I swear half the people in southern Arizona will tell you that a Gila monster saliva is poisonous, which it is, because the Gila monster has no elimination system, and it just keeps its evil juices inside itself, fermenting and creating poison, which it doesn't. But there's a lot of people who'll tell you that the Gila monster, it has no anus, and that's why it's so poisonous.
Big Jim Griffith is with us, 12:55 on the Buckmaster Show. Tucson Meet Yourself is something you're very proud of, isn't it? One of your top accomplishments.
I'm pretty pleased with it. Actually, it is one of the community of Tucson's top accomplishments. We got to have the idea and do a little bit of work, but if the community hadn't turned out and cooperated and enthusiastically put it on and enthusiastically gone, why, there wouldn't be much of a Tucson Meet Yourself.
Here's a caller who didn't want to go on but heard that the Tohono O'odham used to make coffee cups out of baling wire because the coffee was so thick.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, there you go.
That's great. There is a little bit of truth to that.
Okay.
Because they did make baskets out of baling wire to hang butter and other perishables down the well to keep them cool. The baling wire is a resource just like yucca leaves or anything else. And so that's what baling wire baskets were used for traditionally, or to hang them in the Ramada, so they'd be vegetables would have air. They wouldn't rot so quickly. But the coffee cup part is just another wonderful Western American exaggeration. You take something that's true and you push it until it isn't, and then you claim total innocence with wide open blinking eyes and try to see who you can get to swallow it.
Big Jim Griffith has been with us on the Buckmaster Show. One of my favorite segments that you did, and we're quickly running out of time, Big Jim, was your tequila tasting segment. Rose is doing a big thumbs up because Rose was with me for 4 years over on the TV show. And Rose, we must have run that segment, it seems like we ran, she's saying 10 times, your tequila tasting segment.
But
about the worm, too, and the mezcal.
Yeah. But it was water.
Oh, it was.
It was water.
It was.
It absolutely was water. It had to be water Because
of some...
Because I taped that thing at 9 o'clock in the morning, and we had to do multiple takes. And let me tell you, if it hadn't have been a water, there would have not been the articulate vocalist talking with you all.
Big Jim, again, congratulations on your big award, and that will be quite a shindig, won't it, in Washington,
yes.
D.C.? 3 days, huh?
3 days. Not 24 hours a day, but, a coyly spaced banquet followed by a little bit of recovery time and then something else the next day. It's a tremendous honor. It'll be exciting to meet all these talented people, and it's going to be fun.
And we'll look forward to having you back on the show. We do list you on the Buckmaster Show contributors page as the Buckmaster Show folklorist, so you'll have to come and see us again.
Okay.
Thanks, Big Jim, and congratulations. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show, brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, certified public accountants, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, the midweek Wednesday edition. I hope you will be with us live tomorrow, 12 to 1, for the Buckmaster Show. Have yourself a great afternoon. Try to stay cool. Have a great day.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.